Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Give it to me. Hello, friends. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast every week, even Black Friday, supported by you, where we went all around the internet today to find out which things you should purchase for your... No, we totally didn't do that because we don't have to. That's not our job on this show. Thanks for joining us.
We're just going to tell you the things.
Yeah.
They come to us.
Like, I don't know.
They come to us like thieves in the night.
May or may not be a gift guide. Probably not. Boom.
No. You know what? I did a lot on Thanksgiving was watching TV shows. We spent Thanksgiving eating food that we made and laying around in our pajamas watching television shows.
Oh, my God. I did it all wrong.
One of the things that I watched involved a nice glass of sherry. It was some English thing. It was not Downton Abbey, which we did watch, but there was some show that featured someone having a nice glass of sherry. And I thought, sherry, can you get sherry anymore? Is that something you can still go down to the store and buy? So I looked up sherry and found this article from the spruceeats.com. Sherry wines are recovering new ground in the wine world, and it is well deserved.
What? I would not have seen that coming, but you accidentally... Wait, so where did you get the sherry?
Where did I, hear about the sherry?
So wait, were you having a nice glass of sherry and
I was seeing someone on a television show talking about sherry.
Right? Slow burn. Is that a thing? Turns out it's a thing.
And so I was like, oh, sherry. Well, that's funny. I wonder if people still drink sherry. Apparently,
they do.
Sherry's making a comeback. The two predominant types of sherry are fino, which is very dry with a lighter body, and oloroso, which is still dry but richer in flavor and body. And I guess sherry was on the outs for a long time because it is a fortified wine, which means that you make you distill a strong alcohol out of the grapes, apparently, but then you put that back in to the wine later to kind of boost the alcohol level. So it's 15% for fino and 18% for oloroso. And also there's a sweeter style of sherry that actually is less popular, but that's the one everybody knows about.
Right. That's the one I always think of too, is just kind of a yucky old person dessert wine.
Right. Like an almost gelatinous syrupy dessert wine, which is a legitimate sherry, but it's not the one that when you see people in ye olde movies having a sherry that they're drinking. That one, I guess, became a dessert option at restaurants. Maybe that's where people started to think about it. But that's what I knew about it. But apparently, oh no, it's dry. It's not sweet. The fino and the oloroso varieties, and starting to be a thing.
That is fascinating. Also, do we think that since number three on the list of types of sherries is Amontillado, that in fact, all this time, the cask of Amontillado has referred to sherry?
It must have, right?
It must have.
I thought the same thing when I
now
saw
this.
It's like a cask of Bordeaux, but sherry. And sherry is wine.
I mean, right. It must be. But it's funny because the cask of Amontillado has nothing to do with wine or anything, right? Isn't that the awful one where Yeah, a man taking fatal revenge on a friend who he believes has insulted him. It's by a drown.
Yeah, but there is a cask of wine involved.
It must have been sherry. Yeah. I also just learned another outstanding thing from you just now as you were talking about it, because I never knew what fortified wine meant. I was always I don't know, maybe it's really sweet or whatever. Right. Boozy AF. Good tip.
No, that's why Thunderbird, the popular fortified wine of hobos everywhere, is popular because it's a sweet, winey taste, but it's got lots of alcohol, so it'll do the job.
God, I want to like scamper over to Yemeni Bodega and see if they have any sherry. I'm so curious now.
I know. And so this is me sort of stumbling into one. I'm not calling it. I'm not predicting it. And I'm not taking it from experience. But the Spruce Eats story is from May of this year. It's not that old.
Yeah, exactly. And all of the food recommendations that appear to go with sherry sound awesome. Like, there's a whole lifestyle laid out in this article. It's like, well, if you're going to have fino, it tastes amazing with almonds, olives, ham, chips and dips. Uh-huh. Manzanilla is best with seafood and tapas. Like, don't you want to live this life? Amontillado is great with oily fish dishes.
Manchego. Well, and that makes sense because the sherry is from Spain, which I didn't know. It's from this region in Spain, and the various sub-regions within the region are what give it the names like Oloroso and Manzanilla. But so of course you're going to eat delicious tapas-style food with it. Makes perfect sense.
Incredible. Well, I plan to spend all of tomorrow because I have utterly failed at vacation. See aforementioned story about dog issues. But I believe I'm going to spend all weekend on the couch because the crazy storm is headed our way.
Right. We're getting a super storm, right?
And I have considered, because I have now heard so many people talking about these things, I've considered ordering my own weighted blanket.
Because when an atmospheric river of rain is headed your way,
it's time. It's time.
You need to weight yourself down and batten down the hatches.
Full disclosure, too, I've had this in the bullpen, which is where we keep ideas that for several weeks now. And now that I'm waking up and it's like 40 degrees, which I know I can hear some of you laughing, but here in Oakland, that's a big deal.
All relative, my friends.
I did the turkey trot on Thanksgiving, the little like 5K, you know, community race, and got up at whatever, 7:15, and it said it was 40 degrees, feels like 36. And I was like, whoa, I don't know if I want to trot. And it sounded great. Yeah.
It, because like when I say it's all relative, I will say like I went outside yesterday, day before yesterday, in the 40s here in LA, which is super cool for LA, right? It downright cold. And I was ready to be like freezing and chilly shivering. That's the
shivering
word.
Shivering, cold.
Yeah. We happened so rarely here, I couldn't remember the word for it. I wasn't that uncomfortable because it had been in the 60s. And in the evening, the 50s for the past couple of days. So I'm like, oh, this is colder, but it's not that bad. Yeah. Earlier, 3 weeks before, when it had been literally 90 during the day and 50 at night, I was freezing my butt off outside. It's what you get used to. It's because of the change.
Totally. Well, and also, it's legit cold here this week. Like, it just is. The air is cold. You know, some cool days have an undercurrent of warmth, be if it's summer or whatever. It can be 50, but like underneath that is summer air. This is like, it is damp, like rain is coming, the air is super chilly and cold. It's delightful. And as it happens, it coincides with the fact that apparently weighted blankets are a freaking thing, primarily for people who have trouble sleeping, is where I first heard about them. And they are literally, if you are not familiar with this thing, but I would be amazed because I feel like it's the CrossFit/Peloton of everybody I know right now. Like, everyone's talking about it. They actually have weights in them and they can range from 5 to 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And they're meant to help people sort of stay asleep. Like a friend of mine got one maybe a year and a half ago. She's clearly very cutting edge and she's a bad insomniac. And she was like, yeah, what I like about it is that it doesn't necessarily prevent me from waking up. But when I wake up, I have this heavy thing on me. So I just don't want to get up. So I go back to bed.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, previously I would have gotten up and walked around and made some ramen, you know, like done a whole thing. But instead she just is like, no.
She's imprisoned in her bed.
I guess it works for children. Like a lot of them are, are for babies. But I am intrigued, even though I am an awesome sleeper. I still am like, oh, it's kind of great.
It just sounds cozy, right?
It does. I love that feeling of like, I've always been a keep the room freezing and then pile on every possible blanket. And this is just like, you only need the one.
There's nothing like that feeling of just like knowing that you are in a cocoon of warmth that the cold cannot penetrate.
I know.
And I think the weighted blanket contributes to that.
It totally does. And what's amazing is that they even have ones that are suited for warm weather. So that you don't have to necessarily, it doesn't have to be cold. Like there's literally one called the Baloo Living Cool Cotton Weighted Blanket. And the whole deal is that even if it's hot out, you can still have your, you could still have your cozy feeling with your weighted blanket. I'm kind of fascinated by these. Blanket.
Yeah. Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that that would be a thing, but I guess. And they have ones for hot sleepers. I don't know. I'm a little obsessed. I might want to try it.
I know Chris Ashley, who hosts the SMR podcast, was talking about weight. He's one of those people that's been talking about weighted blankets for a while. And he also does a weighted jacket when he runs.
Really?
Like I think the weighted blanket may have been a gateway to the weighted jacket because he's lost a lot of weight.
It's just a
and he found
thing.
That running was like too easy suddenly because he didn't have to carry as much of him around.
What?
So he
Is
started
that
doing
real?
A weighted jacket. Yeah, yeah.
Because he needs to hold himself to the ground better?
Well, I don't think he was worried about floating away or anything.
Are you sure it wasn't just for training?
Yeah, no, it was totally for training. It was basically like, well, I would have to run more now to get the same amount of exercise because I don't weigh as much and it's not as hard on my muscles.
Right. Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah. I know.
Boy, I got to say, I've been reading the claims about weighted blankets and the benefits, and they are pretty funny. Like, oh, yeah, no, it triggers happiness hormones. Really?
Does it, though?
It says like, they promote the production of oxytocin, a hormone released during hugging.
Yeah, right. I know about the hugging hormone, but do weighted blankets, like, is that legit? That
I don't know. They say it helps with ADHD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, according to Tuck.com, weighted blankets fix everything.
I hear they will get you out of your credit card debt.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard that. I don't know if it's true.
I don't know. Many people are saying.
People are saying.
That a weighted blanket can get you out of debt.
I know a lot of people who have done this. Speaking of one that I've just sort of seen everywhere kind of popping up, it started a couple months ago. I saw signs up for it because there was one of these in Long Beach. I know I'm burying the lead by not saying what it is.
I know.
But now I'm like seeing playlists for it. And I've seen it referred to in a bunch of places. ComplexCon, the groundbreaking festival that brings together pop culture, music, food, innovation, activism, education, and more.
What?
Everything you want. Millennials.
Apparently. And also it gets rid of your credit card debt. No, but
it
seriously.
Might actually create oxytocin.
Is this a fire festival? Because this sounds
it's you know what I think the reason you're feeling that is that it's got some of the fire festival appeal but without the having to go to an island and starve and not have enough water.
It's Long Island. Oh, sorry, no, it's Long Beach.
Much better island.
It's Long Beach. Totally different. Not even that. The funny thing is actually the other reason I feel that way is because the website doesn't exactly work. And so I'm like, wait, did this happen?
It's working for me. That's weird.
I don't know. Whatever. This Mac is on its last legs. Wait, so Kid Cudi, Anderson. But wait, what's complex about it?
Lil Yachty. I haven't quite figured out what the complex part fits in. It may just be that was the name they could get. And they thought, well, that one sounds cool.
Like you have one.
Very, very much around hip hop. But the idea is it's not a fan fest for hip hop. It's more about culture.
Okay.
It's kind of like a cross intersectional, maybe even I might say way to say like, hey, if you want to fight for the planet, listen to good music, eat sustainable food. Like it seems to be like trying to hit you on multiple grounds rather than, you know, this is Shoe Con. We're all about shoes. This Complex Con is complex. Maybe that's why.
I was just going to say your feelings about Lil Cootie are complex. So this is the complexifier for you. There's like a whole community week thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something about lunch deliveries. It is indeed complex.
You can get a box set of socks related to Complex Con.
Have you heard people talking about it?
I have not heard people talking about it. That is the one thing I haven't done is actually hear real humans talking about it. But I've seen the signs. I've seen articles. I've seen it like referred to like at Complex Con, such and such happened. And it's a bunch of different things.
I mean, it seems like the community week part of it, they do a lot of good things.
It reminds me a little bit of the I don't want to say Triple X because that sounds like a dirty movie. XOXO.
What's that? Oh my XO, God, I'm XO, so out of it. Con. I feel like I don't
XO,
even know.
XO XO Con up in Portland, I think it might be back, but like 5-6 years ago was the hot new, like, don't go to South by Southwest, go to XOXO.
Oh, I see. But now XOXO is over and go to Complex Con.
I guess.
And have a complex.
It's giving us a complex trying to figure it out.
It is giving me a serious complex trying to figure it out. Like, at this point, I mean, you guys, I am good at Google. Like, I should know by now what the hell this is.
And I think that's what intrigues me about it is that it has big names.
Yeah.
Coming to it. It's multiple times in multiple locations. So it feels like a South by Southwest, except it moves around, which some cons do. That's normal, like Worldcon. Worldcon's always in a different location every year. But it's not about a thing. It's about a lifestyle.
You know what? I hate it. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to, but like, it's like Casey Neistat, the like YouTube guy. And it's not about the music. It's the lifestyle is what. And you know what? Like, you were just trying to describe it, but that's exactly what they would have told you. And I'm not, I don't know. You kids get off my, no, I'm just kidding.
It is a kids get off my lawn kind of thing because this is definitely not targeted towards me.
No, it definitely is not. Oh, but look, Aleli May is there. She's the one, remember I told you that I bought those Jordans that were like the first ever ones that were.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah, because yeah, she's like right full on this. Street artist. Yeah, this is like deeply hip.
It's deeply hip. That's perfectly put. Thank you. Yep. You've net like this is deeply hip con.
I like it. It's definitely like I bet my son would know what it is. Like it's probably way cooler than we are. So good job. You're cool.
Rich points out that the Complex Con featured a podcast studio presented by Acast.
Oh, God bless America.
So maybe it was targeted at me.
No, come on. It's all the because Gen Z is literally like they're born and they get a podcast.
Is this Gen Z? Maybe it's Gen Z. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Oh, yeah. This is a sense. Gen Z party for sure.
Deeply hip Gen Z con.
They should have called it Complex Con. Okay, I'm going to move on before somebody literally yells, okay, boomer, through the window. Like, I feel like somebody's just going to get a whiff of what
Lil Yachty
I'm
is just going to pop up and go, okay, boomer, right
Lil Yachty is literally, he's just going to show up behind me.
Okay, boomer.
In fact, I'm going to move on to the most boomer topic ever, which is cooking. Because I went looking for, you know, ideas for things that I was going to make for Thanksgiving and came across. So like full disclosure, I might be thinking that this is a thing because I made it. So it was a my thing.
But that's legit. Sometimes you make it or you do a thing because you're in the stream of culture. You know what I'm saying?
Like it's been incepted.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what happened because I think pull apart bread, sometimes also referred to as monkey bread. Monkey bread is usually the sweet version of pull apart bread.
I feel like that's a word that's just going to get somebody in trouble someday, but all right.
Is the thing. What, monkey bread or pull apart bread?
Monkey bread.
Well, monkey bread is very Midwest. That's like, it goes with casseroles
that sounds
and stuff.
Real familiar.
Yeah. And it's just like blobs of bread piled up on top of each other. Sometimes like mushed into a bread pan with like cinnamon and butter and all that stuff on the bottom to make a caramely bottom. And then you turn it upside down and you have all these like chunks that you can pull off. And then I made a pull apart bread, which was, I made pierogi pull apart bread. So So the filling of the bread was mashed potatoes, bacon, and cheese, two kinds of cheese, and onions. I sauteed like bacon and onions. I'm surprised every dog in the neighborhood and just like move in.
Hi, I'm your dog now.
Like Night of the Living Dead. Yeah, they were just like coming in the windows.
Night of the Hungry Dog.
And then you make these tiny little balls of this mashed potato filling and wrap dough. And then I made bread dough and wrapped
like
it around
pierogies,
it.
Right? Makes
like
sense.
Pierogies, but except you make them little bubbles. So they're little round blobs. And then you just stack them all on top of each other in a circle.
Okay.
And it's this bread. And then you plop it down and people can just like pull off pieces. But as I was looking for these recipes, I just kept seeing pull apart bread popping up over and over. Rich in the producer Rich is in the Discord saying basically like, please stop. I beg you.
He's too hungry.
You're killing me. I'm starving, et cetera, et cetera.
This is reminding me of something I think one of my grandparents used to make, where it was like a dinner roll, looked like a dinner roll, like the way the pull apart bread in the Gazette article you have here it looks, and then it would be like onions and ground beef in the middle.
Oh God, yum! Yeah, man, the whole that entire savory pie type universe, like pasties, pierogies. Oh my God, spectacular. Anyway, plus,
that kind of dinner roll where it's like all brown on top and kind of buttery already.
I'm sorry.
We've ruined riches.
I have gotten a little hungry myself, actually, if I'm being honest.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think that you're going to start to see more of this. I think the monkey bread has been a thing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then now you're starting to see more savory pull apart. And then I saw it on the Great British Baking Show, which I bet is why. Yeah. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Rich says, that's I'm not even hungry, but combining pierogi with bread is literally Polish cocaine. Yeah. Yeah. I have plenty of filling and a little bit of dough left. And so I think I'm just going to make like baby pierogies for breakfast tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. I'm coming over.
Yep. Come on over. Cause that filling is absurd. Let me just put it this way before we move on to the feedback. Yeah. Include all the bacon grease. You just plop the whole, all of it. Just blobs into the mashed potatoes. Yeah. I mean, it is like.
And I'm speechless because my mouth is filling with saliva.
Yeah. Kind of same. Same. I'm drooling a little bit.
Oh, and that porter isn't helping with that.
Nope.
Picture.
I know. The pictures are showing up with the cheese in the middle. Yeah. I honestly, this needs to become way more of a thing. The savory filled pull apart bread thing. This is half thing spotting and half thing wish fulfillment.
Yeah, it's more than a thing. It's beyond a thing. It's a requirement.
It's a requirement. It's a new rule. Yeah. New rule. This is a thing. Make it so.
All right. Let's get on to the feedback. As we mentioned Columbia being a thing. We've gotten some great feedback from lots of people and appreciate all of it, including one from AJ. AJ wrote a lot of good stuff. We'll kind of pick out the highlights here. Just finished listening to the episode, hearing about Columbia becoming a thing, and is sharing AJ's experience. My family and I moved down here in September and will be in the country until February. I needed a career change and wanted to take some time off to travel with my family before starting the next phase in my career. It's cheap, like real cheap. We are living like kings down here for about $3,000 a month for a family of four. We eat out most nights, live in a beautiful three-bedroom apartment, and Uber as much as we need to get around. Bogota, the bike infrastructure is amazing. We're from Oregon, and I can say that Portland has nothing on Bogota when it comes to bike infrastructure. Bogota has more than 350 kilometers of protected bike lanes, not just paint on the road, fully separate bike lanes.
Dude.
The cities are modern. They do have poor areas that will look exactly like what Central South American stereotypes look like, but the parts of the cities that tourists go to are super modern. They have amazing shopping, fantastic food, and look like any other major city in any developed country.
And then this Colombians, is the best part.
Colombians love dogs.
Dogs
are allowed almost anywhere here. It was very strange the first time we were in the mall shopping and someone just had their dog with them. Not a small dog, probably a 60-pound dog just walking around the mall with them.
Dude.
Medellin, which in most people my age will immediately summon the words drug cartel after it.
Like you're going to die.
Medellin is similar to Southern California in the spring. It's mid-80s during the day, mid-60s at night.
Lovely.
TLDR, Colombia is a beautiful, diverse country that is an amazing value. You get modern cities, nearly perfect weather, top-notch infrastructure, fantastic nightlife, friendly people, and great food for a fraction of the price of other developed countries. You will have a hard time believing that up until 2016, there was a civil war going on. While outsiders were terrified of visiting, Colombians were creating art, building metro lines, opening bars and dance clubs, building shopping centers, and moving forward despite their struggles with the government. Today, Colombia is very safe, as safe or safer than most big U.S. cities, and it is a vibrant and special place that deserves to be a thing.
Amazing. That email was amazing. And indeed, it caused a little email chain with us that was basically like, I want to go there. I already bought a house there. Sounds amazing.
And then I want to throw this next one. I'll skip ahead to Franz on Colombia, who is a Colombian living abroad and wanted to confirm that in the past, when he would fly home to Colombia, it would be a plane full of Colombians with maybe about 20% foreigners who were there for some work or family. Mm-hmm. About 3 weeks ago, Franz says, I flew to Colombia, and to my surprise, that had turned around. This time, the majority of the passengers were foreigners, not only Europeans, but also Australia, Asia, and the Middle East, and only a small share were Colombians. For a moment, I thought I'd messed up and boarded a plane to Thailand.
What? That's amazing. Yeah, I mentioned it to a friend of mine who is an avid world traveler. They're headed off to Patagonia. Which is like a mini thing among people I know.
Sure.
And she immediately was like, oh, I know like three people who went to Colombia this year. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. I should note that the U.S. State Department still has some warnings about various parts of Colombia, much like Mexico.
Good to know.
Yeah, it said, like, if you get in trouble in some of those areas, you're kind of screwed because U.S. security personnel are not authorized to move around freely in those areas. Yeah. So,
something to keep in mind.
Stay in Bogota, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Medellin.
No, before you go.
Who knew? Let's see. Maya wrote in to say that she thinks that Movember has reached peak thing, which I have to say is regional. Maya said, walking around New York City, it seems like Movember, which is the November-based fundraiser where men grow ugly mustaches. She said, I'm sorry, maybe they're not all ugly, but a lot of them are. It seems like Movember is a way bigger deal than I've ever seen before. Movember posters throughout the subway system and mustaches everywhere. Could it be a thing? Thanks, y'all.
All right. Not here. So it's definitely a New York thing.
Yeah.
Gabrielle on Patreon with thoughts on Sprinter vans says, I think I might have an answer to your Sprinter van mystery. I live in Humboldt County and I kept seeing tons of white Mercedes vans. And my friend told me that they are transporting marijuana legal growers up here to the dispensaries in Los Angeles. I have a suspicion that that is the mission of many of the Sprinter vans you saw driving up and down the coast. I got some metal branded bowls from my grandma years ago and my husband found metal banded glasses to go with them. So we've been on that trend for years.
You are definitely ahead of the curve there. I'm pretty sure most of the Sprinter fans I saw were campers. Like
they
were converted ones that people can't. I mean, it was on the California coast near a lot of campgrounds and stuff. So I'm going to guess, but maybe 20-25% could have been just a weed transportation situation.
Marijuana transportation drivers probably like to camp.
That is.
Who knows?
That's an amazing supposition. Absolutely amazing.
I'm entertained by the idea that the marijuana transportation, the legal marijuana transportation is like, oh yeah, take your time. No hurry, man. It's, you know, camp along the way. It's all good.
Chill up and down the coast. I just love that she was like, oh, I know what that is. Not like, it's not the millennial obsession with camping.
Right.
Or the fact that there's literally like a sub thing where people who live in San Francisco are like, the houses are so expensive that they're buying super fancy Sprinter vans and living in them instead. Like, none of that. It's definitely weed.
It's probably weed.
That is how it feels sometimes, like in California, though. TZ left a blog comment about Mr. Sandman and said, first, I would like to say that the Sandman song has been huge in my life, painfully, due to my two teenagers. They listened to the song Mr. Clean by Young Gravy. When I heard you say TikTok, my brain went, no, followed by my son in the car who also said, wrong.
Oh.
Which I'm not sure which part was wrong. I guess that, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, then he went on to say, the other one I want to touch on is the fact that half the women in Minneapolis are sporting a teddy coat. That is true. I've seen it everywhere. And now I'm even seeing bags. And I'm not even in Minneapolis. This is just in Oakland now that it's cold. And then he, TZ writes, I'm the one who wrote in on milk substitutes. And yes, us vegans are having our time and will soon be your overlords. Okay, maybe not, but I bet most Thanksgiving tables have a meat alternative this holiday.
We eat so little meat normally that our Thanksgiving table was mostly meat. We realized, like, oh, hey, we should have done vegetables.
We had green beans.
Why didn't we do that?
Whatever. Thanksgiving but, really only requires a vegetable.
We had vegetables in the stuffing.
Yeah.
That counts.
There you go.
Yeah.
I made a broccoli dish. It had also two kinds of cheese and bacon in it.
See,
come on.
Even if it's vegan cheese and vegan bacon. Whatever works for you.
It wasn't.
Shout outs to Mike Akins and Louis Saint Amour. And reminder that we do shout outs the month after you pledge on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And we're recording on November 29th. So if you were like, wait, I signed up at the shout out level, next time we do a show, you're going to get your shout out
next week. How can December already be here? Also, a little bit of a thing is everybody just skipping straight ahead to Christmas and Hanukkah. Like, nobody. All the decorations, all the holiday decorations are already out for Thanksgiving.
We have the shorter period between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year.
Stressed.
I think that's part of it. Yeah.
I know.
It feels rushed.
I need to get after it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, all the patrons, including those, of course, at the shout out level, and everybody who joined us in Discord and everyone who supports the show. You can become a member of It's a Thing and get access to our bonus content, which I believe last week was like 2 hours long as we shopped
longest
eBay
yet.
For
yeah.
vintage glassware. Join us live in the Discord and get an ad-free RSS feed. All of that at patreon.com/itsathing.
And don't forget the email address, feedback@itsathing.me.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.